Blog Talk Radio.
Chaos Flight Controllers, gonna go for landing. Retro,
go.
Rhino,
go.
Guidance,
go.
Control,
go.
Telcom,
go.
GNC,
go.
Econ,
go.
Surgeon,
go.
Capcom, we're go for landing.
You are tuning in to an episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir and Maria Wilson-Duff. Join us as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, demons, and so much more. Thank you for taking the time to tune into another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm Jason Ophir, and I'm in a rare energetic mood, and I don't know why, but I'm also joined with Maria Wilson-Duff. Hello, Maria.
Hello, hello. It's good to hear you a little bit bouncy and upbeat.
I'm a little bouncy. Something about having a new house really brings out the energy in my soul, even though it's got problems.
Yeah, did you get all that straightened out?
Oh, well, here's a recap for anybody that hasn't listened to the last couple shows. I bought a brand new house, like bought it before it was even finished, and it's already flooded. And, you know, people just doing stuff like putting door handles on backwards or the locks on the doors on the wrong side of the door. I mean, it's really too much to even talk about at this point. The majority of it, the big stuff's been fixed. The sewer line has been repaired, which entailed jackhammering and removing the concrete from my garage. But it's all pretty much been dealt with other than some wall repairs and touch-ups. And the dude that tore up the second story bathroom, I have three stories, he pulled up all the tiles and it was still wet, so we've been drying it out. He was supposed to come the next day, never showed, and I haven't heard or seen from him in 3 days. So I have one of my three bathrooms unusable, which kind of sucks because I have to walk a couple flights of stairs to go to the two other bathrooms.
Oh, bless it.
I know. God forbid to get some exercise. Other than that, everything on the home front is going well. I just had a couch delivered. And let me tell you, the couch technology has really, really come a long way. I haven't been keeping up with the furniture situation, but the couch I purchased it's like a three-person couch. It looks like leather, but it's like faux leather. I mean, it looks like leather. It feels like leather, but it ain't leather. So it's super comfy, and what's cool about it and where the technology thing comes in is the center part where somebody could sit actually pulls down and becomes a table with glass holders built in, stainless glass holders. But there are controls on each end of the couch that you push a button and it becomes like a full-on lay-down recliner. And it's got USB ports. You can even plug your charger phone from your couch. Now, if that's not paranormal, I don't know what is.
Oh, God. Bless your heart. You're like a little kid with a new toy.
Well,
you won't ever have to leave it. You can eat, drink, charge your phone, hook up your computer to it, and then you've got the recliner, and then you can just lay right there and go to bed.
Yeah, it's like you never have to get up. I mean, this is probably the problem with obesity in the Western world is, you know, you just eventually they're going to have couches you don't ever have to get up from, and you can just take a dump in your couch and use the couch built-in microwave pizzas. I mean, that's the future.
Let's hope not. Let's hope it never comes to that, but somebody's listening and they'll come up with it, I'm sure.
I'm sure it's been thought about. But what's been going on in neck of the woods. The beginning of the show, we usually kind of do just what's going on in our live update. Not that that's particularly interesting, but maybe it is. What's going on in your world?
Not a whole lot of anything. My life is so boring. You thought yours was. All I do is go to work, come home. Now, this evening before the show, I spent about 3 or 4 hours painting my new place that I'm going to move into because I really didn't want to spend $2,500 to hire painters to come do it. And now I'm kind of thinking, you know what, that might have been a good idea to let them do it. I'm getting too old for this stuff. I got to remember to take ibuprofen before I do that.
Yeah, I'm pretty much allergic to any form of physical labor, but painting is not only physical, it's also tedious and requires great care if you want to do a good job, and I would just pay somebody to do it.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of cheap and like to keep my money in my pocket when I can, there's nothing physically wrong with me doing it. So, as long as I'm capable.
Now,
if it's something I can't, then I won't, but.
There's all sorts of things physically wrong with me. But I guess nothing that prevents me from, and mentally, not just physically, let me tell you.
I think so, you better throw in that mental factor with you, but, you know. I think the most exciting thing that's happened over here on the towards the East Coast is the earthquake that hit last Sunday in Sparta, North Carolina. So about a 5.1. That kind of shook things up a little bit. But other than that, everything's kind of going smooth.
Well, 5.1, that's kind of getting up there a little bit.
Yeah, there was some damage and stuff, and I think the USGS measured it as about kind of shallow, it was 2.3 miles, and of course there's no fracking or any kind of thing like that going on in that area, so that was actually a true earthquake and not something that was man-made.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's about it.
Well,
thank goodness it's over there and not over here, and it's not going to hit that huge Madrid fault line that we've got running in this area, because if it ever does that, then we all going to be in trouble.
Well, I'm kind of in the same boat, being here on in the Pacific Northwest. We're like overdue for a megathrust earthquake, so that's like 10 or greater or something, because there's the North American plate and the Pacific plate, and that's going to one of these days. And when that happens, I'm a dead man. I work in a hospital that was built in the 60s. It's got no like retrofit for earthquakes, and I'm in the basement. So if there's a huge earthquake out here, you can just consider me to be toast. Hopefully I'll be at home, but I got a 3-story house, so I'll probably die there too. Such a pessimist.
Yes. Yeah. The top 2 stories will kind of crash down on you. But, you know, I mean, it's kind of one of those things, you know. I mean, if we lived in fear, like everybody's been having to do, seems like, this whole year, you would just kind of be paralyzed and not live your life. So I just, you know, it'll happen when it happens, whether I'm here or if I'm not. So you got to keep on moving on.
You got to keep on trucking. So tonight I thought one of the things I could talk about is, you know, what is or where are the most scariest? Let me cue a scary sound here. Hold on. Let's rewind that. I thought we could talk about tonight is the scariest places in, I still can't find it. I don't want to say the same thing 3 times.
Which one are you looking for?
The ghost. Okay, never mind. Oh, there it is. I got it. Now, what I thought what we would talk about tonight are the scariest places in the United States. Or at least talk about it a little bit. So
yeah, we
I'm
could
just
do that.
we can chat a bit, a little bit, and then I'm sure you have stuff to talk about as well. Make it quick. Can you think of what is one of the scariest cemeteries that you can think of?
Oh, I've not been in one that's ever bothered me. I don't know. I don't know the popular graveyards.
This one I bet you know. The St. Louis Cemetery in New Orleans, Louisiana, is steeped in mythical traditions like witchcraft and vampires. It is creepy. It's that one that's in a lot of movies and stuff like that, you know, where it has the big mausoleum, you know, the long rows of these small mausoleums and these tombs.
They have to do that because it's under sea level.
And the Marie Laveau, the voodoo queen of New Orleans, who reigns down there, that has been interpreted to be one of the scariest places in the country. Now, would you go do investigation there?
No. I would go to a cemetery to do investigations because, I don't know, I can't explain it. It's like it's already full of dead people, and I know that. And my investigations always went towards hauntings or problems that people were having in their homes.
Would you camp out by yourself at night? How much money would that take?
Oh, no, Lord, I'd do that for free.
Yeah.
I've never thought about doing it.
I'd probably do it for $100. Well, maybe not. No, I'm looking at $500 to do that by myself in the middle of the graveyard. I'd probably do it. It's not a matter of being scared. It's a matter of wasting my time. I need to get paid.
Oh, but see, you'll be the one that they'll find stiff as a board and, like, white as a ghost because you were scared to death. And nobody will ever know what happened.
I'd probably run out at 2 in the morning naked, start speaking in ancient Latin and doing weird shit, you know, because I was possessed by some witch or something. But, you know, it is what it is.
Lord, if you met a ghost in a graveyard, you'd probably sit and talk to it to, you know, because you'd be convinced that it's a real person because your mind will works that way. It's all denial. This is not really happening.
Go to shake its hand and my hand passes through some like ghost claw or hand or something like that. Yeah, I'd probably, honestly, it's probably true. I would probably sit there and go, this is all psychological. It's a figment of my imagination. I psyched myself up. I've watched too many episodes of Ghost Adventures. It's not real. Yeah, I actually probably would do that.
Yeah, I could see you doing that.
Well, here's another classic one that you're going to be familiar with. The Winchester Mystery House. It's got my...
Would you really like to go in that?
I've gone that, yeah. I used to live around there, and I never, not like in San Jose, but I lived not far from it, and I actually never went there. It's got... you know, mile-long hallways, weird staircases to nowhere, and doors that open to walls. It's basically like a maze, and it was built by Sarah Winchester, the wealthy widow of William Winchester, son of the manufacturer of Winchester repeating rifle. And I think she pretty much just went batshit crazy at some point when, like, you know, her husband and daughter died, and she seemed to feel like all the victims of the Winchester rifle were coming after there, and she had to continue building this mansion, even though stuff was going to nowhere. And it was constructed on, like, for 38 years, 24 hours a day until she died. And there are the unlucky number 13s featured everywhere in the house, and it's supposedly haunted. I would go there. I would stay the night in there. That'd be sweet.
Yeah, I've always wondered about the haunting part of it because you didn't ever really hear that much about the haunting that went on there until Ghost Adventures got there. But what didn't seem to be is publicly known for some reason. But didn't Stephen King do his movie Rose Red based on that house?
That I don't know. There is a fairly recent movie called Winchester, a horror movie, which I do know, which is based on that, I believe. And I do not recommend it. It kind of sucked. So there are a couple movies, I'm sure, on it.
Rose Red seemed to be based on that. The house kept growing on its own. It's like you could go in one day and you could count 85 rooms in the house, and then the next day you'd go back and there'd be 96. And the house would change while you were in it, and then people would just disappear. And it was the women would disappear and the men would end up dead. Find the men, they were dead. But that was a made-for TV movie that he did. And I think it was like 3 evenings of it or whatever. It was pretty good. It's old, but yeah, it seemed pretty good. That was pretty creepy. Maybe the Winchester House is actually like that, and we just don't know it.
It's probably so big that it'd be hard to keep track of where everything's at, and especially confusing on your mind since stuff goes to nowhere. Oh, COVID-19. Oh, never mind, I swallowed rocks.
So do you find yourself, this is totally off the subject, but do you find yourself doing that in public if you sneeze or cough or something? You're like hoping that nobody hits you or throws you in an ambulance and takes you to the hospital immediately?
I have had to sneeze a couple times, and I wasn't super embarrassed, but it was a thought that was in my mind that, oh God, I hope nobody thinks I have COVID. You know? Oh Lord. Now, mind you, a couple months ago, I was playing, you know, those video slots, you know, slot machines.
Yeah.
And they had separated everyone by 6 feet, and they had actually inserted a pane of plexiglass to the guy next to me. So the guy to my left was approximately 6 feet away, and I felt somewhat protected by the plexiglass. And he just went into this pneumonia-like coughing fit every couple minutes. And I'm just looking at him, and his mask, like, his mask was just, like, hanging down by his neck. And I'm thinking, what a scumbag. If I get COVID-19 from this old dude playing fruit machines because he can't cover his mouth, I wanted to go over and say something, but I was like, okay, you know, I've got a mask on. I've got this wonderful plexiglass that probably does absolutely nothing. But that pissed me off. And I see a lot of that. You see a lot of people walking around with, you know, the mask below their noses and stuff like that. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist. COVID's real. I personally know somebody. I was personally exposed to somebody that had COVID-19, and they were 21 years old and sick as a dog. And this was 3 or 4 months ago. This was soon when this whole thing happened. And her taste and smell still hasn't returned, and it may never come back. So no, COVID's like, it's real. Yeah.
That's not good at all. I know it's real, and I will know that it's real. I think they just, their minds are going on to this. You know, it's like the bars and restaurants can be open, but the churches were closed. Or, you know, and it was just this, it's this really weird thing that's going on that, you know, it just didn't make any sense in how they were trying to protect people from themselves and other people. And it was okay to do this, but it wasn't okay to do that. And it was basically the same thing. So I think that's a lot of what that, and then how they're reporting the statistics on it. And they're always talking about how many cases there are. They quit calling them new cases because when it was known that if somebody was tested 5 times, it was reported 5 times as a new test. So, but anyway, let's go on with the haunting stuff.
Yes, and that with a, I had to have very close contact with a 90-year-old man that had pneumonia, and all I was thinking about was, God, I hope this person doesn't have COVID-19.
Oh, yeah. And it makes you wonder, you know, how many people have had it and gotten over it before they ever even was testing this stuff, or the people that died from it, and they just thought it was the regular flu, things like that.
It's all going to go to hell because flu season's starting, so. Yeah, but can you do? So, have you heard of trans? Lunatic Asylum was a former state hospital for the mentally insane. I can't even talk. I think I'm throwing a series of mini strokes right now. Mentally insane. It's been a hotbed of paranormal activity. People see ghosts of Civil War soldiers. Former patients are said to be walking through 2.5 miles of hallways. People see stuff move on its own, and it's the largest hand-cut stone building in North America. It's constructed in 1858 and housed 250 residents at the time. At its peak with 1950, it had more than 2,000 patients. And apparently, it is one of the scariest places in the country. I don't know. I've heard of it. I don't know anything about it, but I bet you do.
Yeah, I've heard of that place. Almost got a week-long tour of it. Didn't get to get those plans finalized a few years ago, but... I do know that some of the places up there, that the whole building is not open to for tours to everyone. And I do know that there are times that they have to cut part of the building off of the tours for a while because the activity gets so bad. And it's not a pleasant experience for people. Because, you know, there were mentally insane people there, and it's kind of evil, kind of mean stuff that they'll do. So they kind of have to detour for a while until things settle down. And what causes it to get riled up, don't know. What causes it to settle down? It may just be the energy of the people coming through the building that ramps the activity up. But it can get pretty hairy sometimes.
Would you stay there a night by yourself?
Oh, definitely. Oh, yeah.
You're a lot braver than I am.
I'm just, you know, it's, of course, I get to the point where, you know, I just have to have sleep. Unless I'm constantly busy, eventually I do need to lay down and take a nap. And, there's been stuff that's happened that I've woke up that's made me wake up, and I'm just like, y'all need to settle down. I need sleep. I just go right on back to sleep. I'm not a real good investigator when it comes to sleeping.
Yeah. Now, here's one that I've never heard of. I doubt you've heard of. Have you heard of Step Cemetery in Benton, Indiana?
I have not.
It's a very small cemetery. Only about 24 crumbling grave markers remain. Apparently, it's a famously haunted cemetery. Legend has it, it was founded by a cult called the Crabites. Who sacrificed small animals and participated in sex orgies. Another story holds that a mother of an infant who died was so distraught that she went to the cemetery and dug up the child's body after it was buried. Grieving, she took her own life. Visitors claim to have seen her ghost dressed in black, weeping over her daughter's grave. Step Cemetery.
That's pitiful.
I am really curious. Is that a group of people that...
I've not heard of that.
Crabites.
Yeah, you'll need to look that up. That'll be our next show.
Yeah. Do a report on the crabites. The other ones I'm looking at, I'm just kind of going through these and you know, ones that I think are interesting. I know you've heard of the Stanley Hotel, I'm sure, in Estate Park, Colorado.
Oh, yes.
They've
closed
that,
down, haven't they?
I'm not sure if it's closed down or not. I believe it was used in The Shining. Now, I know the exterior of The Shining, the horror movie, Stephen King movie, was what up here in the Northwest on our mountain, Timberline Lodge, I believe, was the outside. But I want to say the Stanley Hotel, I don't know if it was used in the movie or it might just be based. They might have based The Shining on that, the location. But apparently people there see all sorts of haunted stuff. They see a young boy who makes his presence known in room 1211. There's a guy that likes to hang out in closets and bedrooms. And the owner, Mr. Stanley, makes his presence known by appearing to visitors in the lobby. And it's just crazy stuff like that. So apparently that place is super scary. And they do offer ghost tours.
Well, I do remember hearing something about, because I knew Amy Bruni and Adam and Chip was always out there. And they were, I mean, they had several of their own tours that they would do. And then I seemed like I remember they talked about the hotel decided they didn't want to go that way anymore, that they were going into taking away from being known as paranormal, a paranormal hot spot. So maybe that didn't work out real well for them and they decided to go tours again.
Well, the last time this article was updated, it was 2018, so they may have strayed away from that. I think it's a great business model. I think that, well, I think it would scare some people away, but, you know, there's enough people that are interested in the paranormal that would be driven to go to a site like that.
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, especially as famous as the Stanley Hotel is. Why take away from it? I mean, there's going to be people that are going to come there anyway to stay just simply because it is so beautiful. So it doesn't matter. I mean, as long as the paranormal stuff and people don't interfere with the other people, I don't know why you would even want to try to take that history away. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me. If you got it, use it. If I had a hotel that was haunted,
yeah,
I'd be like, bring your
There's
ghost
a bed and
call.
Breakfast. There's a bed and breakfast that's about 10 miles from me. And it's very haunted. And it's changed hands so many times. The city that it's in really, they didn't want to be responsible for it. And, I mean, it's a big, beautiful, it started out being a hotel because Mammoth Cave was just being discovered and everybody wanted the opening to Mammoth Cave to be close to them. But it's got a railroad track in front of it and the trains would go to Mammoth Cave. And then it turned, after that went away, it turned into a boys' home. And then it was, at some point or another, it was a brothel and just like it always is. I think that happened before it turned into a boys' home. But anyway, they finally, somebody bought it and turned it into an absolutely beautiful bed and breakfast. But they don't want to hear anything about anybody that's been there and investigated it before. They don't want to know anything about it. And I've got some great evidence from that place. But they completely discourage it.
Well, I guess I can, you know, some people have a lot of religious beliefs and stuff like that, or I would imagine fear, where maybe they don't want it acknowledged or they don't want to accept the fact that their place is haunted. So I can understand that. But if it was me, I would be making money off that hands and fist. I'd like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure the insurance liability of something like that is completely something that you have to take in consideration. And then you've got a lot of people in the paranormal field that are just pieces of crap and don't respect any property that they're where they are. So.
Mm-hmm. So the last one I'm going to mention, one I find probably the most interesting to me personally, one that I would go to, the Bell Witch Cave. But I don't know what that sounds like.
I don't know what that was.
It's a state. You don't know what that was?
Which one was that one?
It's somebody's idea that that's what demon sounds like.
Well, we need a new one.
it just sounds like noise to me. The Bellwitch Cave in Adams, Tennessee is the site where John Bell and his family were tormented by a ghost now known as the Bell Witch. And it's open for visitors. It's this cave and supposedly has some connection to the spirit world. The legend varies, but most accounts claim that Kate Batts, a neighbor of the Bell family, believed she was cheated out of property in a land purchase. Kate continued to torture the entire Bell family, physically abusing the youngest daughter, Betsy, and cursing John. Visitors claim that taking any object from the site is cursed. Many people have encountered running into malevolent forces on the property. And interestingly, technology doesn't work there either. The cameras mysteriously malfunction and all sorts of... My skeptic mind is already popping in about why some electronics wouldn't work, but I'll keep that to myself. The Bell Witch Cave. Would I run down there and with a Ouija board and black candles? No, but I would go there and check it out and I'd maybe cover myself in sea salt or something, but I would do it.
I know there's a lot of reports of people that'll take rocks out of that cave and they're told not to. And then they mailed them back because their life went to hell in a handbasket after they got home. So I did work on an investigation of a lady, and bless her heart, she had been her husband at the time. They went to the cave and he put the rocks in her coat pocket and she didn't know anything about it. So, things kind of went downhill between them and things like that. And still, she never knew anything about these rocks in her coat pocket. And I think she never put things together because, what had happened. But she actually started being haunted by something and by two things. She had two attachments to her, and she tried to get help for several years. And I think by the time that they had, by the time she found us, she was kind of already gone as far as a possession is involved with. She got to the point where she didn't want help anymore because we kept trying to find her help and we were going to take her to, we were going to have somebody to come to help her, and she constantly refused. So she'd already kind of been possessed for a little bit. It's very interesting. Very interesting case.
My inner skeptic is clawing to come out right now. I cannot... Rain. I cannot hold it back. Here's my take on it. Personally, I'm not a huge, big believer in cursed or haunted objects. I could be wrong. I don't know. But from a psychological standpoint, I have absolutely zero schooling. Well, no, that's not true. I did take psychology 101, but that's entry level and doesn't really help much. But common sense in my brain tells me there's bad things happen to people. Now, you could take my situation, for example, when I move into a brand new house and everything goes sideways and flooded and craziness. Say that it happened to happen after I returned from Hawaii and I took a rock, and we've heard about that before quite a bit on this show about, you know, taking rocks from Hawaii and then people have bad luck. Now, if I had done that and I'd come home and all that stuff happened, then I'm going to attribute that just random bad luck to some sort of curse or haunting. And I think when people, I just think people are so influenceable to and so eager to associate bad things to stuff like hauntings and curses. I could be wrong, but to me, bad things happen. Whether you take a rock or not, bad things happen. It's just the randomness of it all. That's just my opinion.
Well, that's true. But, you know, it just kind of seemed like the timing of the events and the things that had even happened. And matter of fact, there was, and I forgot about this, there was somebody that just kept saying that he was a preacher and he could go help her. He could go take care of what's bothering her. So she agreed to let him come and talk to her and things like that. And he was so disrespectful and just kept demanding that these entities that were there leave. And he come up with some kind of crap about if, you know, I'm going to take it off of you and I'm going to put it in this egg. And then when I crack this egg open, it'll be black if you have any kind of attachments on you. Of course, it didn't. But he was doing nothing but being disrespectful and mocking what was happening with her. And his wife went, it started like the very next week. And he didn't leave with any kind of rocks or anything from her home, but his life was completely destroyed. I mean, it was, got into a bad motorcycle accident. His wife was almost killed from that. Then he ended up losing his job. And this is a man that was had a church. He was a preacher of a church. He ended up leaving the church. He turned to alcohol and drugs. And I don't know. I mean, it was like this man lost his mind and lost his job, lost his home. I don't think him and his wife ended up getting a divorce after she recuperated. But I mean, it's stuff that makes you think. You know, here he is, a man, supposedly a man of God, and the way that he behaved, it kind of made me wonder what his intentions were in the first place. But it's just the series of events of things that happen with one common denominator that tends to make some people stop and think about it. Where you go, it's like, well, he would have had a motorcycle wreck anyway, and, you know, if he was a jerk and wasn't acted like he was a man of the cloth and really wasn't, then, you know, these things could have happened to him anyway.
That's kind of the direction I could go. I mean, I used to be a motorcyclist up until a few years ago, and I know people that have died on their bike. I know people that have lost limbs on their bike. I've had plenty of close calls. I realized that it was just too dangerous. Like, I mean, it's just a matter of time. You ride a bike, you're probably not going to live to old age without any kind of injuries. But some people do, but, you know, it's, I just think people can associate or tend to associate bad things with paranormal events. I was watching a documentary yesterday. I don't remember what it was called. But it was about this guru, kind of this cult thing. And this guy was an American. He was young. He was fit. He was in some major city ballet. And he was making people believe that he will get them to, you know, to know God personally and touch them, like, not like in a church kind of way. We're talking like in a Jim Jones kind of way, like a cult kind of way. And so these people worked there for years and served this guy. And the ultimate goal was a ceremony where he would actually connect them with God. And people were selected. People would come to him and he'd be like, no, you're not ready yet. Or he'd grab somebody and say, yes, you're ready. And these people were having, like, he would do this thing, the touching of the hands, whatever it was. I didn't actually finish the documentary. That's as far as I got. But what was interesting to me about the whole thing was that people were so high on this experience, they were hallucinating, you know, like they had just taken LSD. And that is a great example. I choose not to believe that this guy was connecting him directly with God. It's a psychological thing where the brain is inducing hallucinations, because that's how powerful the mind is. You don't need to take a drug. You just get your brain mojo thinking one thing, that something's going to happen, something amazing is going to happen. You truly believe in your soul, your brain's going to come up with a lot of shit. So that's kind of, I don't know, my dissertation on the mind.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and it just, that's how we have to go about it. You have to kind of sort it out in your brain. Is this something that's actually paranormal, or is this some kind of crap that my brain's just making up? I don't know. There's no way to draw a line on, for anybody. If you don't believe, you're not going to believe unless something truly happens to you that you cannot explain and that you accept it as paranormal. And then there's people that believe in the paranormal that can't understand and won't try to wrap their heads around the scientific and the mental and all of that stuff. They just refuse to even look at it in that perspective. You can't do that. If there is a medical or psychological explanation for something that can be going on, you have to take that into consideration.
And there's a lot of things I've hallucinated before, believe this, and I don't do drugs. I've never really done drugs. And one of the things back when I was a paranormal investigator was anytime somebody has an experience right before they fall asleep or right after they wake up, in my opinion, you kind of just got to throw that in the trash. It's not saying it didn't necessarily happen, but our brains can get caught in between these dream and waking states where you wake up, you're totally awake, but you're hallucinating. And I know this because it's happened to me twice. One night I woke up, I was sleeping in a hotel meeting room because I was the night clerk. And the office was attached to that, and the door's locked, and there's a phone out there if I need to do anything. So I wake up, and I look across the meeting room, and there's a chair, not on wheels, sliding back and forth 2 or 3 feet, and I'm watching it. And it scared the crap out of me.
Wow.
I got the hell out of there, and I stayed up the front desk for the rest of the night. And the same thing happened a few years later. I woke up, and there's this pen just moving on its own on top of this dresser. It's just like, you know, but I realized at a later time that, okay, this is called hypnagogia. This is a hypnagogic hallucination. It's a wiring problem. It's an electrical thing where your brain doesn't connect with reality and causes hallucinations, and it's super common. So that's the first thing I look at, you know, when people would come to me and say, well, I woke up in the middle of the night and I couldn't move and there was an apparition sitting at the end of my bed. I'm thinking, you know, there's a good possibility that that's some sort of hypnagogic hallucination. Of course, I don't know. There's no way to really know. But I don't see it as necessarily being paranormal.
Right. Well, and then a lot of people, they when they wake up because of paranormal activity, they their body senses something different, and it causes them to wake up and to see what's going on. So, but like you said, it can kind of go back to that as well.
There was one time when I was a very young child, and I know it was around the time that Top Gun came out. And I know it was around that time because I had bought the soundtrack, or somebody had bought the soundtrack, you know, Highway to the Danger Zone. And I was alone in the house. Nobody was there. And it was at night. And the whole house was dark except for the office I was sitting in. And I was talking to my neighbor friend, another young boy. So let's see, if that was in 86, you know, I was probably 12 or 13 years old. And I'm sitting in the chair talking on the phone. And I look to, you know, the doorway out into the rest of the house. And I see a half of a boot, you know, sticking out. Like I saw it step down, but I couldn't, the wall was in the way. So I saw half of a boot. I don't know if that's paranormal. I just thought I'd mention that. It scared the crap out of me, and I was alone.
I bet it did. I bet it did.
So I don't know. Maybe somebody broke into the house or something, but it was crazy. But I have a terrible memory. My mind is not really good. Not the brightest cookie on the planet. So I don't remember what happened after that. But anyway, I just thought that was interesting. So maybe that was paranormal. And that wasn't a hallucination because I wasn't even trying to sleep. Or
well,
what a pedophilia.
Is your view? Ooh, yeah. Well, I don't know. That would be if it was already there and you were making, if it was an object was already there and you were trying to make it out to something else.
Like I physically watched the boot step down.
Yeah, so that's what happened. It was paranormal.
It could have been.
What's your view on deja vu?
So I get that a lot, and it really trips me out. But interestingly enough, and I wish I could remember the details on this, but there is neuroscience behind why that happens, and I can't remember. Like scientists at least claim that they figured out why that happens. But it doesn't make it any less weird, and I don't remember the details behind it. But there's some scientists within the last 7-8 years have claimed to figure out why our brain does that.
Because I have not, I cannot think of a deja vu incident that I've had since I was a child, and probably in my 20s. And I just haven't had any of that. But I was involved with, a couple of weeks ago, a gentleman that just kind of stopped and looked at me, and he said, I've seen you do that before. And I needed explanation. I was like, what are you talking about? He said, I've seen you walk just exactly the way you walk, the direction that you walk, and back again. I've seen that before. Which totally is not possible because I haven't seen this gentleman in 4 or 5 years. And especially not in that setting that we were at the location that we were at. Odd. I mean, and he's in his 40s, and I just kind of thought deja vu was something that you quit having after you were getting into your 20s, and it just kind of goes away.
No, it happens to me a handful of times every month. Like, this has
that's
happened
awesome.
Before. I remember here before. This is weird. That's one I'm actually kind of on the fence about because I think the scientists are correct. It's either just a weird brain thing, but I also kind of wonder if this doesn't have more to do, not paranormal, but have more to do with like quantum theory and quantum mechanics. Like, you know, maybe we've all done this before in another universe, or this life is repeating itself infinitely, or some weird thing that is way above my understanding. I tried to read a book on quantum theory, and I don't get it. I am not a Stephen Hawking. I am an ex-biker security guard that works a menial job in a medical laboratory. I cannot wrap my brain around that.
Yeah, I don't think I would be able to do that either. Not at all. But, I mean, you know, that would also explain a lot of the residual energy of people that are claiming that hauntings, like music and stuff that you can hear and you know good and well there's no music anywhere that would be playing. Or they see somebody that repeatedly been down a hallway or, you know, things like that. And it's not intelligent. It can't interact with you. It's just, it's there. So that would explain that pretty well. But yeah, maybe we are just replaying these disgusting, petty lives over and over again.
Can I replay the life infinitely of me being a billionaire? Because that would be awesome. I'll tell you, I do not believe for a second that we are just living on this planet in some infinite universe and we developed from tadpoles and that this physical world is all that there is. There's something else going on, but I don't know what it is. I don't know if this is a simulation. Or there are people that claim that there's scientific evidence that suggests or even proves that this is all a massive computer simulation. But there is something funky going on, and I wish I knew what it was. And I don't think it's religion either. It's broader than that. I kind of feel like it's, you know, there could be some truths in religion, some truths in science, some truths, but there's a bigger picture that we're not seeing. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a good picture. It could be a bad picture, but there's something going on that we are not permitted to know.
I agree with you on that. I mean, there's something else going on that, because, I mean, and we're constantly given glimpses of it. When you have that type of deja vu or you have some type of experience that happens to you that nothing else can explain. And the thing is, you can explain anything and everything away. You're really good at that. It's denial.
Yeah.
So,
but I mean, I'm still open. I'm looking for logical explanations before I go into the paranormal. I've seen paranormal things before. I saw a shadow figure cross the street, and it was opaque, and you couldn't see through it, and it was weird. But I'm not an environmental scientist. I don't know what that could there could be things that cause that. I don't know. I'm still open.
And we don't know that stuff, and we're never going to know everything. I mean, and I don't care if, you know, it's always people are talking about, oh, well, if they'll just come out and admit that UFOs are real or these alien abductions are happening or, you know, that there are really ghosts and things like that. Because people want to see evidence of ghosts all the time. You know, well, if I saw evidence of it, I might believe in it. No, you're not. You can be shown all of this stuff over and over and over and over again. And if you don't believe it, you're not going to believe it. You just can't believe up in something that you've not experienced. You can believe it exists, but you're not going to be completely drawn into it until you start having those experiences.
Absolutely. You know, I think I was going to I wanted to tell you what I really believe, but I'm like, it's kind of out there, and we're running out of time. So how about next show we talk a little bit more about our theories on, you know, what we're just talking about now, deja vu, quantum, you know, purpose of life, and I'll tell you what I believe. And it's probably going to, it's out there. If I had more time,
okay.
If I had more time, I'd nut up and just tell you, but it's a little cray-cray.
Well, that's okay, because I always have to stop myself, because I get, and then I look at people, and they got this look on their face, and it's like, oh, well, I need to shut up. They don't want to go down that rabbit hole that far.
I have looked at religion. I've explored Mormonism. I went to a Catholic military school. I've looked at not in depth, mind you, but I've looked at a lot of different things, and I finally came up with something that resonates to me to be the truth more than any of those other things. And like I said,
this sounds really interesting. So if we remember to discuss this next week, because, you know, neither one of us can remember anything.
That is true.
We'll dive into that.
Well, with that, I am going to go down and fire up my countertop grill and cook me a steak.
That sounds wonderful.
Hell yeah. So with that, next week we'll talk about whatever. I'm sure we'll talk about a bunch of stuff, but I will give you my theory on our existence, or more specifically, a theory on my existence. Because my theory revolves around me and nobody else, probably because I have a little bit of narcissism.
Yeah, just a tad. But we still love you.
I hope everybody has... you have anything else, Maria?
Nope, I'm good.
Hope everybody has a safe and fantastic week. Stay COVID-free. We'll be back next Sunday, 7 p.m. I almost said 8 p.m. 7 p.m. West Coast time. And we'll delve into this and other subjects of the paranormal. And as always, if anybody wants to call into the show and offer input, questions, or suggestions, you can. We'll kick out that number next week a couple times. And check us out on Facebook, Paranormal Horizons on Facebook. And our Facebook page is just getting worse and worse.
No interaction.
Oh, okay. So there was a time not too long ago where our Facebook would reach over, 4 million? 6 million?
Oh, yeah.
Something.
Easily.
It was millions
easily.
Of people. A week, people. I just looked at the numbers yesterday, and we reached 3,300.
I kind of think... I think what it is that we hit that magical number of 50,000 likes, and Zuckerberg said, you know what, screw you, and he shut it down, because we don't reach the people that we used to. And it's all fun stuff. It's no paranormal stuff, because nobody liked the paranormal stuff that we posted. So we just started putting up comedy, and really sometimes some of it's a little trashy, but, you know, people laugh. What we're here for, and so there you go.
Banned. All right, we'll see everybody next Sunday. Hope everybody has a good night.